This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Got some major, major questions on the table for you this morning. Welcome to the show. It is the Maggie and Perloff Show. Perloff on vacation, EJ Stewart co-hosting this week. So we got a couple things in front of us that are kind of big, a little more philosophical maybe questions, and one has to do with the big hockey game tonight, EJ,
yes,
in Boston, the Four Nations face-off. We got USA versus Canada. This is the final. Now, it is an exhibition. It is for fun, but this has been anything but an exhibition. It feels like almost everything is on the line tonight.
This has been an exhibition like Apollo Creed versus Ivan Drago was an exhibition.
Yeah, right. Well, I hope it doesn't end that way.
Let's hope not.
But anyway, what's going on is basically the tensions between USA and Canada, which I think started a little more in the geopolitical world, but also, you know, I think there's part of American hockey that wants to show that they're not even just on par, but maybe can even at some point surpass Canadian hockey as far as who's most dominant. So there's a lot of stuff on the line here.
Yep.
Last game, three fights in the first 10 seconds of the game. So a couple questions. One, do we think we're going to see another fight right out of the gate tonight? And two, because the Canadian faithful were booing the American anthem last time, does the Boston crowd tonight reciprocate and boo the Canadian anthem?
Well, it's Boston, so that's an obvious yes to me.
Yeah, they would boo in elementary school.
Yeah, come on. I mean, this is one of the more hostile sports crowds we have in America. Philly, New York, Boston, you know, on that Mount Rushmore, find a fourth city you want. Like, so that's going to happen. I think in terms of the fighting, like I said earlier in the show, I kind of hope not for the sake of if you're trying to win the game. I think it's too much of a wild card element that you're bringing into a game that technically does have some stakes. I know it's not an Olympic.
A lot of pride.
But there's a lot of pride on the line, and these guys are taking it super seriously. So if the goal is to win the game, I can't imagine the Stanley Cup Finals of Game 7, we're thinking, all right, when are we going to have the first fight in the first 2 minutes? Like, that's not a thing. You know, right? So I feel like we won't see a fight. I think we actually will see a game that's just very physical, very intense. But I think the guys just go out there and play and see who's the better team, mano a mano.
See, I think it's a little of a, I mean, you say the term best of both worlds, you know, whatever you think about hockey fighting. But I think you kind of get both, because I think you are going to get a fight. I think you're going to get it early on, so it doesn't actually impact the outcome of the game, not like third period, you know, 5 minutes left to go down by a goal. You'd be stupid to do it then. But early on, I think you're definitely getting it. And I think part of it being, it's almost more about the grudge match. It feels than anything. And, you know, part of having a grudge match is making things personal.
Definitely.
And whether that's booing your anthem, whether that's dropping gloves right away or what have you, it's got all the makings. So I think it would almost feel a little anticlimactic if they don't fight. As far as booing anthems are concerned, listen, you have your right to do whatever you want, you know, and I'm not trying to take away anybody's free speech. Not my cup of tea. You know, I think there's probably a couple things where you can just, and I'm not blaming the Canadians. There's a lot of reasons for it. And I wouldn't blame the Americans tonight either. But if you're asking me, like, I think it crosses a line. I think it's pretty classless.
Yeah, I don't think you should do it. The word I used is tacky earlier, and that's probably the word I would stay with. Like, it just seems like I think there's an understanding, though maybe with Canada it is more personal beyond like in terms of like what the country and the direction is going in. But I think there's an understanding that this is a game, a hockey match, and we're booing the other team that just happens to be they represent a country. For me, the thing I've been wrestling with is as an American, should I take any offense to Canada booing our national anthem? And should I feel the urge to have some kind of retribution to boo them back? I don't feel that. To me, maybe it would be a little different if this was the Olympics, or maybe if there was something more personal in terms of an actual stake in what's going on between the two countries that would make me feel a certain way. But if I was going to this game, I wouldn't boo the Canadian national anthem. I'd be like, I don't care.
Well, yeah, it's like the tariffs and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know if that gets you off your feet to boo. I can understand from the Canadian side. Again, from the American side, I'm not so sure. Again, I'm not a booer generally, but I think you're totally within your right to boo. Booing an anthem, I'd probably leave it.
So you're not a booer at all?
You know,
because I will boo. I'm not a heckler. I think that's a big difference.
Yeah, no, heckling's
corny.
That's a little crazy.
Yeah, I think heckling's corny. I don't like heckling.
I have booed. More on like a player introductions type thing, right? Okay. Like when if you're there supporting the home team and then the road team comes out, it's like, oh, boo. You know, it's like giving them a little welcome
to
the stadium. But no, I mean, I'd boo a ref sure.
Definitely ref booing.
I'm 100% in favor of. No heckling. Up. But okay, so we're asking you a question. Should the American fans tonight return the favor to the Canadian fans and boo the anthem? One thing is, cannot get blown out in this game if you're USA. Mm-hmm. You're asking for the smoke. You wanted every part of it. I know they've been watching Miracle and been listening to Aerosmith, and they've been doing all the things. Cannot get blown out in this game. But anyway, it's sports. The second thing is something that started in New York, but it doesn't have to be a New York story. And it was the owner of the New York Mets saying that he was very disappointed that last year the team ranked 18th in attendance out of 30 MLB teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he's disappointed because they went on this sort of magic carpet ride to the NLCS, and he's investing a lot. You know, he's not nickel and diming the squad and asking you to show up so that you can line his pockets so he can pay for more Picassos.
Yeah.
Spending $765 million on Juan Soto and paying Francisco Lindor and all that stuff. And I didn't have a problem with it. You know, asking your fans to show up and support the product, I didn't look at it as greedy necessarily. I looked at it as, hey, all I can do as an owner, I'm doing everything. I'm checking every box. We're spending. Ballpark's cool. Trying to make a good in-game experience.
Yeah.
Now, your part as a fan is to show up and root for the team.
I just think at the end of the day, you're not doing your whole part if you're not lowering ticket prices. If you're not deciding we're going to do a lot more discounted food options. We're going to do discounted, you know, giveaways. Like, if all of those things aren't happening, and then by the way, you are a billionaire, you do have a lot of influence in the city that you live in and you work in. What are you doing about, you know, subway situation? What are you doing about job situation? Like, this is a different time than it was in 1992, where you had less people having to work beyond 9 to 5. You had less people who had issues in terms of childcare. So many different things. Everyone is really, whether you're making money or not, everyone's right now just trying to get by.
Yep.
Right? That's the one thing, you know, forget about politics. That's the one thing we all understood during this last election, that everyone feels like they're just trying to get by. And it's a struggle, regardless of where you are economically. And for Cohen to sit there and say, without any context of the other issues that people are dealing with, saying that where I'm spending money, therefore you should come to a game, I just think it's not telling the whole story.
Yeah, I guess I was willing to give him a little bit of grace that I don't think he's talking about the single mom who's got two kids or the couple who's working double shifts and just trying to get their kids, you know, and provide a good life for them. I think he's talking about people who actually can afford it, who may have the, you know, not just discretionary income, but also time. I don't think that he wants you to say, listen, it's either your kid's book bag or going to see, you know, Mets Pirates. Like, I would hope that, and listen, billionaires.
Mets Pirates, you better take that book back.
All right, Mets Phillies.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, like, I would hope that he's not as heartless as that. Like, hey, if it's between your medications and buying a ticket to see my team. I think he's talking about the people who can't afford it. I think he's talking to the people who are just choosing not to come and could. That's at least what I hope. 855-212-4227. We're just asking, do you think, and can an owner ask? Listen, another thing we want to make clear, We're not talking about the bad owners here. Mm-hmm. We all know the bad owners, whether it's the embarrassing ones like Dan Snyder,
yeah,
who got so many legal issues and was just a dog and, you know, all reports was just running a really ugly situation.
Complete loser.
Yes. Not that. Not the Pittsburgh Pirates owner whose payroll is $68 million, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about the ones who are the good owners, the ones who actually do spend, the ones who actually are trying to make it a fun experience.
Yeah, and I get that, but I think we're in a situation now as well where we got to be real about where we are in sports too. And sports is a television product, all of them. And I do feel like people who are growing up now, whether they're young people or they're people who are adults, they've grown up now with super access to all games at all times on all platforms. You can watch it on your phone, your tablet, your computer, your TV, wherever you are. You can go to any bar, you can find it. I think to think that in order to be a great fan, you have to go to the ballpark also feels antiquated to me, especially when those options to watch the games on TV are also becoming harder because they're making you pay for streaming services. Cable bills are going up.
Yeah.
Nothing has been easy about any of this stuff. And I think that that's a big factor in this as well, is if I have to now also pay for Amazon because an Amazon game may come up, or I got to pay for Apple TV, that's also more money that's being spent. And, you know, if I'm going to the ballpark, I'm wasting money spending on that stuff. Like, you can't win. You can't win right now.
855-212-4227. Let's go to Timothy, who's in Michigan, wants to talk about the Four Nations face-off tonight. Timothy, should the Boston crowd boo the Canadian anthem to return the favor from last week?
No, the best thing they should do is to sing so loud that the Canadians can't even think. The walls should vibrate. Their fillings should fall out. Just sing your guts out for the U.S. national anthem.
So what do you do while the Canadian anthem? Just silence?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You just don't do a thing.
Okay.
You know, you got to have a modem of respect here. And, oh, speaking of respect, that billionaire wants more attendance. How's it feel to want?
Tim, drop the mic on that one. Yeah, you're right. I don't think Steve Cohen, he does want to win a World Series. It's like, it's literally the thing, I guess, can money buy it? We're about to find out.
Yeah,
but,
seriously.
Yeah, he's not wanted for much.
As a Yankee fan, it doesn't work out. Trying to buy the titles.
I mean, you also had one of the great dynasties. Multiple times you've had great dynasties.
Yeah, that was over 25 years ago now. But
I know. Mm. I know it, Manny doesn't remember it because he's too young. Also, by the way, I have a question for some of you young people in a moment.
Us youngins.
Brad, you're in Detroit. You want to weigh in on this whole booing thing. Should the U.S. crowd boo the Canadian anthem?
First off, I just want to say, Maggie, I love you. Love the show. You guys are doing a great job. I'd love to congratulate Perloff, but he's on a zip line somewhere.
I know.
Anyway,
Costa Rican zip line.
Yeah. No. 1,000% no. Look, I mean, but this four, I'm really digging the Four Nations face-off thing. It's really cool. It's unprecedented. But someone said it before. Look, this is an NHL thing, exhibition kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I mean, but it is awesome. USA and Canada facing off, but on the other, the Canadian national anthem. Look, everyone knows deep down the Canadian national anthem is the greatest national anthem on the planet.
It is good.
I love our country.
Yeah,
I like the Star Spangled Banner as much as anyone, but everyone knows the Canadian national anthem is just awesome.
Brad, you know what? Good call.
Our home and native land.
It is a good song, but yeah. But here's a question. Do you think it's a better song because you just don't hear it as much? You know, like, honestly, besides Happy Birthday, I think the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, is the song we've probably all heard the most in our lives. So maybe there's something where it's like a nice change of pace.
I don't think that's it. I think in terms of melody, I think in terms of rhythm, it is a banger. It is no question, O Canada is superior. Just purely forget about where you are in terms of what country you stand for. It is awesome.
Yeah.
I agree. I love hearing it. Like, I always get reminded during, ironically, like, All-Star games for both the NHL or in the NBA, they always do O Canada because they have obviously Canadian teams. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. Thank God I was watch the NBA All-Star game. It was the only thing that was good was seeing Alicia Cara, whatever her name was. She was doing the national anthem for Canada. I'm like, yeah, this is nice. And then the rest of the game was not so good.
Are we ranking anthems? I don't know if I know any other ones.
I know three anthems.
Do you know the Mexican anthem?
I do know the Mexican anthem.
What's it called?
El Himno Nacional de México.
Can I get a little?
Mexicanos al grito de guerra, el acero a prestar y el brindón, y retiembla en sus centros la tierra al sonoro rugir del cañón.
I like that.
That sounds good.
It's better with the mariachi playing in the background.
Everything is.
Damn right.
That's, I don't know who. What else is even in the running? The British one?
I feel like I don't hear. Yeah.
God save the Queen.
God save.
Yeah.
Wow, Alex. Whoa.
It's like, I just like, I know parts of it.
Yeah, because you're a big soccer fan.
And like parts of the French national anthem, too.
Go for it.
No, I don't.
All right.
Marchand. That's all I know.
French national anthem is good, too. I feel like I heard it a lot during this past Olympics.
Who is that?
The French.
Yeah. Yeah, the French. Their national anthem is good, too. I was still Canada power ranking number one is not going anywhere.
Well, one of my power rank.
It's getting booed tonight.
One of my favorite scenes in cinema ever was when Chris Tucker told the cab driver to sing the anthem and the cab driver starts singing the French national anthem. The American one.
Jeff's in Tucson. Jeff, what do you think? Should billionaire sports owners ask their fans to show up to the ballpark?
No, I don't think that they should. I think that they should just be understanding that, you know, people like EJ was saying, people have lives. You know, my cell phone bill is $320 for five lines. You know, and it's, you know, we have lives, and if we're able to spend to get on the train or take a car to the ballpark, I mean, just parking. I went to a game in because I'm in Tucson. I have to go to Phoenix to watch a baseball game.
Sure.
So I went to a Diamondbacks game. I took my wife and I took my two grand boys, 4 and 6, and that was a $500 day.
Oof.
Just to go with tickets.
Yeah.
And we had good seats, you know.
Yeah, you buy a couple t-shirts and a couple hot dogs and boom.
And it's not even just a couple hot dogs, you know, it's popcorn,
yep.
Cotton candy, you know, whatever for the kids, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So for him, you know, if you put the product on the field, then people will come. You know, I've been a Guardians fan all my whole life and Indians prior to that. And I watched the Jacobs underspend. And I was going to ask EJ, what is the payroll for the Guardians? Like $90 million?
It's probably somewhere around there, right? Probably maybe a little north of 100 because, you know, Ramirez has a pretty big contract. But they paid Naylor, so I think, too. But
so you look at just the product that the Guardians are putting on the field at 90 or 100 million. At least that owner is trying to do things. They have a 50-50 raffle that you can get involved in. At, you know, during the season, they have 4 tickets, 4 drinks, 4 dogs. I mean, they have a bunch of promotions. I'm sure every ballpark does, such as that.
Yeah.
But if you would, go ahead, Maggie.
No, here's the thing though about Cleveland, Jeff, and I know you're a big Ohio sports fan and always appreciate the call. Drive safe out there. Listen, we had a great World Series, one of the all-time ones where Cleveland played Chicago, and that was awesome. And I know Cleveland's had really good teams and beaten the Yankees, the big bag Yankees in years and stuff like that. But to be honest, like, it's kind of what the owner of the Brewers said. It's like, I'm putting out a product that's good, but is it actually good enough to win? And I know that baseball is unpredictable, Diamondbacks, you know, playing Texas Rangers, stuff like that, but like, are you just putting out a product to give people some entertainment and have a good time, or are you actually trying to build a winner?
Yeah, and that's the big question. Right now, I've seen like around $86 million where the Guardians are. So, and that's the team that's going to the playoffs, similar to the Brewers. It's not like they've been a bottom feeder, but you know kind of how the season's going to end every year.
Ty in Boise wants to take issue with us liking the Canadian national anthem, O Canada. Ty, what's your beef with O Canada?
My beef is not with O Canada. It's with EJ saying that O Canada is a banger. I feel like that's disrespectful to bangers. Come on, EJ, man. You know better than that.
Listen, you get a good singer doing O Canada. I mean, I get chills. I mean, I'm serious. It is hard.
Keep your Kendrick. Keep your Drake. I mean, EJ just wants O Canada sang by some big fat guy. That's what he wants.
You know how Drake could have won the beef with Kendrick? He should have just came out with O Canada and it would have just ended.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that would have been all time.
To each their own, I guess, but, like, Whitney Houston singing the national anthem in 92, like...
I know, but Whitney Houston could be singing, you know, the theme to Paw Patrol, and it'd be great. You know what I mean?
Touche. I'll give you that.
Ty, thank you for the phone call. So I'm trying to look up here if we get a definitive ranking of the best national anthems of all time. I mean, obviously, this stuff is really personal. I've got the most uplifting national anthems of all time.
The most uplifting.
The most uplifting.
Anthems.
A little bit different. Yeah. This one has the Netherlands coming in at number one. It's called Wilhelmus van Nassau.
I've not heard a Netherlands national anthem since they lost in the World Cup final in, like, what, 08 or whatever that was?
Then United States is two on this list.
Who's two?
USA.
Oh, America.
Then three is France.
Oui.
Four, Argentina.
Muy bien.
And then rounding out Germany.
Deutschland.
It's number five. That's on this, the most uplifting national.
Deutschland.
Yeah.
I don't like this Canada slander coming from this list.
I'm surprised, and the list goes on, but I'm not seeing Canada anywhere. Ethiopia, Jamaica, Japan, Liechtenstein. If I was Canadian, I would take offense to this list.
I know.
Would you consider the haka a type of national anthem?
Oh, from the
New
Samoans?
Zealand.
I don't think so. Well, yeah, but don't multiple
countries... New Zealand, not small.
Don't multiple people from multiple countries do the haka, though?
Yeah, but I think it originated there.
It's a tribal.
I wouldn't consider it a national anthem, but maybe a type of...
It's got a dance that goes with it, too, right? Yeah, so that I think it puts it in a different category. That's extremely intimidating.
I mean, that's... Yeah.
I have one issue with the haka. It has nothing to do with... No issue with how cool it looks is... If you do it and then you get destroyed in whatever sport you're playing, it's a bad look.
Like when the United States saw the New Zealand do it in front of them, and then New Zealand ended up losing by, what, 40?
Yeah, I'm watching like Derrick Rose and James Harden just looking at these guys like, what is going on? And then they go on the court and they get beat by 40 points. Like, you can't look that intimidating and that tough and then you get destroyed. Like, to me, like, you got to withhold. Maybe you withhold the haka against Team USA. You know, when you're playing against, you're playing against Team Japan, like, maybe that's when you bring it out. I think certain countries, maybe you say, hey, let's try to sneak up on these guys.
No, maybe just do, like, a mini one. No, you got to do it.
You cut the routine by, like, 25%? Like, what do you mean?
855-212-4227. Okay. That devolved. Top five anthems. Honestly, I keep thinking of the Michigan fight song. I'm like, that's not an anthem.
The fight song.
Hail to the Victors, not an anthem.
Just an Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
The song that Perloff thinks is the Notre Dame.
You can't tell them apart.
Yes.
Okay, lots more to do. You guys can weigh in. A, should there be booing of the anthem tonight? That would be the Four Nations face-off in Boston. A little returning of the favor, if you will, when the Canadians booed the American anthem. And then also, is it okay for billionaire sports owners to ask their fans to show up to the games? We check in with someone who's gotten a little too big for their britches next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, what a miss that Shoop is not someone's national anthem.
Fact.
That would be an all-timer. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We've been talking about anthems because of the Four Nations Cup tonight. USA, Canada, the final. It's in Boston. Things have been pretty testy, not just between the players who've been dropping gloves, EJ. Mm-hmm. EJ in for Perloff, by the way. Who've been dropping gloves, you know, at the sound of the whistle, but also with the crowd. Canadian crowd booing the American anthem. We'll see what happens tonight with the Boston crowd. Again, threshold for Boston fans to boo, very low. So this is maybe not the best litmus test. Yeah. I think they'd boo your grandmother. But, you know, we'll see how robust the boos are. I've got a question for the young people here. Pat, you're how old?
30.
Damn! Shut up, man.
Manny?
27.
And Alex?
25.
Okay, and EJ?
33.
Okay, so... And I'm 41. So I'm older than you guys. And I saw this story that came across, and I was like, man, I got to ask the young guys about this. So apparently, club culture is dead. This is what I heard on social media. Club culture is dead. Got young people like y'all are not going to clubs anymore. So instead, this guy is now throwing parties at coffee shops. Because you guys like coffee shops more than you like going to clubs. And I'm just wondering if I can get a confirmation of whether this is in real life or this is someone trolling on social media. Is your generation coffee shop people instead of club people?
No.
You're a clubber.
I don't like going to the club either. I like a bar, a normal bar where the music isn't blasting my eardrums out, where I can talk.
Yeah.
And like... have conversations with my friends. If I'm on a date or if I'm trying to meet girls, like you can actually talk, and it's not like, what did you say? And it's just boom, boom, boom.
Right. Well, depending how your game is, Pat, you might want less talking.
Well, I have confidence in my game, so I want more talking. I want more conversating.
Wow,
so
maybe, you go up to women?
Maybe a coffee shop could be your gym, you know? Play a little, like, I don't know, Melissa Etheridge. I have no idea what plays in a coffee shop. Moby?
I'll disagree. I think this is a coffee shop generation, because I think this is the generation.
You guys don't stay out late.
No, but this is the generation of, yeah, right, number one. Number two, this is the coffee snob generation, too. Like, I feel like...
avocado toast and lattes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the craziest thing was when I went to a college party. This is grad school. And the main attraction of this house party was that the gentleman had an espresso machine. That was the big thing. It was like oh, everybody's got to try the espresso machine. I'm just like, wow, this is what college is like.
Pat, I'm assuming that's not your experience.
I got a different thing than espresso if you want to get woken up.
Well, I told you guys that back in November, I went to my friend's birthday party, and she has a bunch of friends who are a lot younger than us. So we were going out with a bunch of 25-year-olds, and we went to a day rave. And I was like, oh, this is perfect, because when I was growing up and when I was young in New York City and I was like 22, 23, 24 – you know, we would, if you're going out to a club, and I'm sorry if my mom's listening to this, we don't even go to the club until midnight.
Yeah.
Facts.
Is that still happening now, or does that feel like a relic?
I think that's a relic. I mean, that was like watching Jersey Shore when I was growing up. That was the standard.
Yeah. You go out at midnight. You guys are not going out. You guys are getting like your beauty sleep, are you not?
Definitely.
Alex, are you going to clubs?
No, I just play video games till like the middle of the night.
Okay. So you're staying up late, but you're not being social.
Yeah, no, because I'm a night owl. I stay up whenever. But even if I were to go out, I'd probably just go to like house parties instead. I wouldn't go to clubs. I would just go to like over to like
friend's house.
Yeah,
friends hang. House. Manny?
I have been to the club once in my life, and that is good enough. I would rather go to the bar where things are not as loud. Maybe, I don't know about a coffee house. I do enjoy coffee, but I mean, I'm not trying to spend my Friday night at the coffee house. I'd rather, you know, shoot some pool.
Coffee shops, I think, should be more for like dates.
Right, right.
Yeah. Not for like parties.
But I don't know. That's what this guy said. He said, club culture is over for you young people. Throwing parties now, DJs at coffee shops.
I just don't understand this premise, though. Like, which coffee shop is housing that? And then also Dunkin'. On top of that, like, let's go to Dunkin' Donuts, and I'll put, you
Maybe
know,
we'll
all
see
this,
Ben
Affleck. Just shoving the
rum.
Donuts to it.
Me and Affleck are putting rum in our iced coffee. That's the other thing. Where do you get the alcohol? Like, which coffee shop is allowing
this? I don't think people are drinking. See, that's the thing. Like, in younger people, maybe you are, but I think you're doing other things, too. The gummies, stuff like that.
All right, so you're going there stoned, and then you're drinking coffee, so... I don't know about you, Maggie, but if I'm high and then having a lot of caffeine, weed which speeds your heart rate up, that's like the last thing I would want.
Yeah, that's probably a bad night. But again, I was out with these younger people. They were not drinking. I don't know what they were doing. They might not be doing anything, but they weren't drinking. This is not the same as when I was younger.
I will say this, though, and I don't know if this is the new big thing, but my fiance Andrea, she was invited to something she didn't expect. And this may be the new nightlife craze, because apparently this place was packed. Apparently, the next thing now is nightclub bingo.
I saw that.
Like apparently, you have these nightclub-esque places where people go, and there's live DJs and there's live music. But throughout the night, you're at tables playing bingo.
Are you drinking?
Yes.
Okay.
It's alcohol. It's apparently super lit. But the bingo is the center around it. And they're giving away, like, ridiculous prizes, like... Here's some Beats headphones. Here's like a PS5. Like, it's all like crazy stuff.
Interesting.
But it's a big, big thing apparently in Brooklyn.
I wonder if that started as something ironic, like older people play bingo at like the YMCA or something. And now young people have to say like, oh, I'll do it.
I think I'm out on this combo.
Convo? Not this.
I think I'm out on this convo. There's too many people doing weird stuff.
Pat just
wants
to go to
a club to do bingo.
Pat just wants to go to O'Houlihan's and sit down with his five Guinnesses.
Yeah, I want to go to 8th Street Tavern in Hoboken, New Jersey, and I want to drink beer all night, have good music where that's like good songs, not, you know, BS like, you know, freaking Hello Barbie, Let's Go Barbie, like that cliched crap.
Yeah, no,
good
you want
songs.
And you want Kate Upton to come in, sit down right next to you. She can hear everything you're saying.
And I want games on the TV, and that's it. I want guys being dudes, chicks being girls.
But Pat,
you're missing an opportunity.
You're gonna end up being president with that kind of agenda. Careful,
Pat. You're missing an opportunity here. If you hit B5, you may go home with a new plasma screen TV. Come on,
I'm taking the loot and the girl. Bingo.
Maybe that's where all the hot girls are. Maybe they're at bingo. At O'Malley's.
From what I heard, it was the ladies were out. That's all I'm saying. So I'm a single man. I'm not a single man anymore. So that's not my.
Don't try it, Pat.
But I'm trying to tell you, young folks out there, younger folks than I, this may be the wave. You gotta go where the women are. It's not about where you want to be. You gotta go where they are.
Yeah. Fair. When B5 went a plasma screen TV and then get all the nice TV.
Yeah, the girl wants to
come to my place.
I don't know one woman who's ever slept with a guy for the size of his TV. Air conditioning, maybe. Not the size of your TV.
Air conditioning in the bed.
Well, just the air conditioning.
The TV's got it. It's a TV's a nice perk.
No woman's like, wow, he's got a 50-inch TV.
Meg, you're telling me if you walk in and, you know, to some guy's place and he's got like a 16-inch on like a crate and doesn't even have a coffee table or a TV stand, you're getting into bed with that guy?
There's nothing that the entertainment system could do or not do to make me go to bed with somebody.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. What do I care?
I always feel like I've heard the stories of like...
What, are we getting snowed in together? Like, I couldn't care less about the TV.
Well, I've heard so many stories of like people going to someone's apartment or house being like, when I see the TV on the floor, I'm walking out. I've seen that meme on Twitter or social media.
But here's
from
the
women
thing about
all the
that.
Time.
Yeah, when you walk in and it looks like a guy still lives in a college dorm room. Yes. It's kind of what you're
or
saying.
Or like he just moved in yesterday. We've been living there for 5 years.
It's
nothing
Ben
wrong
Affleck.
With that.
Like
nothing
boiler.
Wrong with that.
There
what
is nothing wrong with that.
Correct. Boiler room where he's just got like a lawn chair and a TV.
That's perfect.
I'm just going to tell you, she sized you up long before she got it. She knows probably she can probably guess what your apartment looks like just by talking to
you. But then if you walk in and you get, you know, a grenade thrown into the mix there, all of a sudden there's crap everywhere. There's
if it's
a TV on the
disgusting.
Floor. Like that, that's then, hey, oh, you know what? Sorry, I don't feel well. Maybe I should just leave.
It's not the TV on the floor. It's the cleanliness, right? Like, if you have a clean bathroom, if the garbage isn't overflowing, dishes in the sink, like, that's the stuff that women are looking at. Just, the TV on the floor, we don't care.
Just, well, you act like if you get to that apartment, the deal's closed. Trust me. The deal ain't closed until the deal is closed.
And that's what we call consent. Let's get to the headline. Pat,
the
what
Pat
do you have?
Boy away.
That's right. All right, let's start with the hockey. With the hockey here. The Four Nations Tournament ends tonight. Championship game, Team USA versus Team Canada, TD Garden in Boston. You guys were talking about it. Will there be booing during the Canadian anthem after the USA anthem got booed in Montreal last weekend? Will there be more fights? Political tension in the air as well. Canada coach John Cooper was asked about all of that and what a win would mean for them.
Everybody should be proud, and the U.S. team included, in how their passion and want and will to win and compete on such an organic level has galvanized not only the political world, the sports world, everybody.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Matthew Tkachuk, who dropped the gloves with Brandon Hagel right to start the game on Saturday, and, you know, the group chat that the USA was in apparently pre-planning these fights, he just said they're focused on winning.
Our team does not care about anything that they say, and there's been a lot of chatter and talk from individuals, but, you know, we care about one thing in this room, and we have millions of people that are watching us and supporting us around this country, and we're very prideful in playing for them and the guys in the room.
Yeah, broadcast coverage begins here in the States at 8 Eastern. I'm sure the same for Canada. Puck drop probably 20, 25 minutes after that.
It's kind of funny that ESPN gets this final when TNT was doing all the before rounds, right?
No, ESPN had Saturday.
Oh, they had Saturday.
I don't know if they've had every game, but I know that they had. I remember watching it. It was on ABC on Saturday, and I know that's the same for tonight. Before we get to Lakers-Hornets last night, I wanted to throw this in so we can discuss it. So over the past few months, we've seen news stories and headlines about several prominent athletes having their homes broken into and burglarized, hundreds of thousands of dollars in jewelry and other possessions stolen. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Joe Burrow, just to name a few, were included. Well, the FBI has closed in. They've made arrests. 7 men from Chile, whose total estimated loot is over $3 million. They could face up to 10 years in prison. That would seem light to me. But you know how they got them?
How?
So these guys, who, by the way, I mean, they're criminals, but I want to give them credit for pulling off several successful robberies. Huge homes, security systems, even when there were authorities patrolling areas and security was on high after the first couple ones, but they ultimately got caught posting selfies with the stolen jerseys and jewelry to an iCloud site that the FBI got entry to with a search warrant.
Oh my gosh. Dumb criminals.
They went out of the way.
Do you give them credit because they're actually able to get into these houses even though they're heavy surveillance? Or are they just reckless morons?
Well, so here it was, you know, a very multi-layered operation. You know, they would go from city to city using rented cars that they got with fake IDs, burner phones that they used to coordinate with one another. They would hide in the woods to track the security and authorities, yeah. You know, patrolling the area before they finally went in and broke into the home. So, and again, they pulled off several of them for weeks until finally the pawn shop that they were selling the, you know, the Biz loot to, authorities closed in on that. It was a pawn shop in New York City, and I think that then brought them closer. And then apparently this iCloud site, I don't know what it was specifically that they were posting these selfies to, the FBI got into.
So two things. I mean, honestly, a pawn shop, what is this, amateur hour? Like, you don't think that the pawn shops are looking out for stolen stuff would be one. And two, you know it's got to be one guy who posted the stuff to the iCloud. What is
They're
it, six
pictures,
guys?
Though.
Seven.
But they may have taken the pictures, but it doesn't take the one dude. And it's like, we told you not to.
Yeah.
Ah, you idiot.
But the problem is, despite all of the work they did to make these heists a quote-unquote success, as terrible as it was that they were successful, this is the problem with clout chasing. And when you have internet, high-speed internet, and social media, that's always going to be a factor. So these guys who pulled off these heists that were really kind of high wire acts, once the clout came a thing, they wanted to be famous. They wanted to get someone to know that they've been doing it. That's where the house
downfall.
Of cards comes down. That's the problem with a lot of folks now is the ability to get a round of applause or some attention for your actions is usually kind of the end for a lot of these folks.
Well, now they're going to get deported. I thought it was they got pulled over and they actually had some of Joe Burrow's stuff in the back of the car. Guys, duh.
I mean, maybe they couldn't. I mean, the only thing with that was, I guess maybe they couldn't move that stuff in time, maybe. Like, they were trying to get that stuff out of there and they just happened to have it on them. I don't know.
It is crazy that it was so coordinated because it was Burrow, it was Travis Kelce, Mahomes.
Was Bobby Portis, so I know it was Rob. I don't know if he was in this mix, but.
Yep.
Yeah, so like.
And there's a couple, like, Luka Doncic had his home broken into. They're not sure. The FBI's, they're saying they're not sure whether or not all of them were connected to this one group. But yeah, you're right. So late January, some of them were stopped in Florida rental car by police on an Ohio highway. So they had a Florida rental car in Ohio. And a body cam video from the Ohio Highway Patrol had one of the men wearing a Bengals stocking cap.
It's basically, you might as well put a catch me sign out in front of yourself. Well, Pat, thank you for that. Glad those people got caught, and hopefully everyone gets their stuff back.
Yeah, and then Hornets beat the Lakers 197. I mean, at this point, if you missed it, we did it every hour.
Yeah, and also LeBron taking the last shots, Luka a bystander. Mm-hmm. That's the headline. 855-212-4227. Nice job, Pat. Coming up, we have to get to one of the big NFL rumors. It's going around. We'll tell you about it next.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Well, looking for a new address, that's for sure. Welcome back to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I didn't mean that as a diss. EJ's in for Perloff. Parting ways with the New York Jets. And unless he goes to the Giants, he's going to need a new address. So here is Adam Schefter on the Adam Schefter podcast saying Aaron Rodgers could be headed to L.A.
If the Rams couldn't get a deal done with Stafford, if they decided to trade him, a lot of ifs involved, then Aaron Rodgers, in my mind, would be thrilled with the idea of going to Los Angeles. And the Rams could probably get him at a lower cost than it would be for Matthew Stafford. They get draft pick compensation back for Stafford. So you could see where the Rams would say, is that a more desired alternative?
Yeah, listen, the musical chairs here are going to be fascinating because it's not a robust quarterback draft this year. Beyond Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, and then whatever you may think about Milroe or Jackson Dart, these veteran guys are going to be in high demand. And I think even Rodgers, coming off a subpar season by his standards, is going to be in the mix. L.A., the Rams seem like a perfect fit if Stafford decides to move on.
Yeah, I mean, he gets to play indoors for half a season, so you think that would help. He's playing in the West, so it means you get some other indoor games, maybe some nice weather games. So I get it from that standpoint. I do wonder, though, the Rams have had a benefit of the personality and identity of the team being Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
Him being front and center, him being kind of the star of the team in many ways, because the stars that they've had haven't really been big personalities. What happens when you add Aaron Rodgers to that mix and when it becomes more of a cult of Aaron Rodgers? We saw how in New York so many of those players really took to Aaron Rodgers as their Obi-Wan Kenobi, so to speak. Like, you know, and they have an Obi in L.A. It's all about Sean McVay.
Yeah.
How do they mesh would be my question.
You know, I think that's probably better, to be honest, because here's the thing about Rodgers. You know, if you're turned off by how outsized of, you know, I guess personality he is or whatever you want to call it, you know, maybe they need to go to a place that already has a clear identity. The Jets did not. The Jets didn't. So Rodgers filled the void.
Yes.
And they kind of became a team molded in his image, and that didn't go that great. If you have a team that has a strong identity, Rams, Pittsburgh Steelers maybe, you know, I don't know. I can't say Las Vegas because I'm not sure what their identity is yet.
Yeah.
But definitely for L.A. or for Pittsburgh, I think it's probably a better thing that the coach – is really the face of the program as opposed to one of the players. So I think it could work.
But what happens, though, is with Rodgers, what we've seen is he, in some ways, is like a player coach. Like, he has a certain way in which he wants to run offenses. He wants to do his kind of street ball kind of way of playing football, where maybe there's a play call, but he'll do a hand signal there or a head shake here, and the play is different. And with McVay, and we've seen with all the guys in the Kyle Shanahan tree, is they want the offense to be run the way they want to run it. They feel like they have the formula it takes to move the ball down the field consistently and just deliver the ball to the guys that are open and make things simple. Aaron, there's nothing simple about Aaron Rodgers. One of the reasons why he fell out with LaFleur was because he didn't want to really run LaFleur's offense. And LaFleur has loved Jordan Love so much because he says the guy just runs the system I've put in place. Is he going to go to Sean McVay and be like, hey, actually, you know what? Let's do some of the stuff I did in Green Bay when I was kind of running things and maybe bring some of my Green Bay guys with me, too, because I think these guys can play. That is what he did in New York.
I know. The only thing is, though, things have changed, you know, since he first got that Jets gig, not just the injuries, but also, I mean, if the reports are accurate that Rodgers was begging for his job with the Jets, it feels very hard to believe that's actually like him down on his hands and knees, like, please, please bring me back. But if he was really trying to beg, then maybe he understands where his place is. And maybe he can say, listen, I'm going to trust in Sean McVay that I'm going to be able to have more success running his system than doing it the way I want to do it. And I know I'm asking for like a tiger to change their stripes, but, you know, he talks all the time, Rodgers, and gosh, we've listened to hundreds of hours of his interviews about ego deaths. This is a big thing that he likes to talk about. And I think this just represents another one of him kind of being knocked down a peg. And I think going to the Rams, I don't think he's going to, if he did, I don't think he'd be able to make a lot of demands on a Super Bowl winning head coach. You can come in and push Robert Saleh around. Nobody knew who he was. He came in on the hot seat. But Sean McVay has a lot of gravitas in the league. Half the league is his disciples.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can come in and start making demands like, hey, I need Randall Cobb and, you know, whatever. It's got to come, you know, be with me. Yeah.
And I think there's a sneaky suspicion, or at least a question I would ask, is how much of a downgrade is he from Matthew Stafford?
Well,
because I think he's more of a downgrade than maybe people think. I think when you look at the numbers last year, you may think, oh, the numbers are actually pretty similar. Maybe he can fill that void. He is very immobile at this point in his career. He is someone who he gets hit, he falls down, and he breaks. Stafford, for whatever you say about him, that guy gets up every time, and he comes back for more. With the Jets, we've heard teams say that we felt like if we hit Rodgers and hit him hard, that we changed the whole landscape of the game immediately. You can't do that with Matthew Stafford. You can't rattle him. So I wonder with the Rams how much of a downgrade that could possibly be. I think it would be one, for sure.
So tonight, biggest thing on TV is going to be the Four Nations face-off. This is going to be the USA-Canada final of this exhibition that seems like anything but prediction time. What do you think happens in Boston? Anthem, fights, final score.
Oh, Canada, we stand on guard. I don't know any of the other words, but it is a banger. I'm standing on that. No, I think Canada rolls. I think this was an exhibition, so to speak, that the U.S. ratcheted up to a level that I think Canada's like, okay, that's how we're going to play this? All right, let's play. I'm very concerned about the U.S. tonight.
Poke Canada, the bear, found another gear.
4-2 Canada.
Yeah, vengeful Canadian teams. I got the same final score, 4-2. Canada clinches it on an empty netter.
Okay. I'm going to start this thing from the beginning. I think the anthem does get booed. Which probably doesn't help anything between our two nations, but whatever.
What makes you say that?
Tariffs going up. No, gosh.
51st state, baby.
Yeah, yikes. I think they dropped the gloves within the first 90 seconds.
Wow.
And I'm going to go USA. 3-2 final USA emerges victorious.
I hope so. I'm rooting so hard for the U.S., but I don't feel good about this.
Free bird.
You can call us tomorrow and you'll tell us how wrong we were. Thank you to Manny. Thanks, Alex. Thank you to Pat Boyle, Andrew Kaplan, and EJ.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.